and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. We live in a day when many church members don't hunger for the faithful preaching of God's Word, a day when many who call themselves Christians would rather be entertained on Sunday morning than hear the faithful preaching of God's Word. The truth really doesn't matter to many people today. Many church members ask, how does it make me feel or does it work? But seldom do they ask if it's biblical. That's why there's so much distortion in worship, doctrine, and living in the Christian church today. What about you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you realize how important preaching the truth of God's Word is in the life of the church? It's the gospel message that the Spirit of God uses to convert the souls of sinners and translate them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe the gospel? Listen for the next 15 minutes to God's Word is Truth and hear what God says to us from His infallible and errant inspired Word. At the end of today's program, information about God's Word is Truth will be made available.
A friend had called me this past week, and he said that there was a death with a member of his family or friend, his close family. But one who went to a Christian school, this girl got killed. And she got killed by, she was a junior in high school. So what is that, 17? She was driving to school, and this happened in Iowa. And she got hit head on with a semi. And she was killed instantly. Now, you know that when she woke up that morning, she wasn't anticipating seeing the Lord face to face then. You know when she woke up in the morning, when she said goodbye to her parents, she wasn't saying, goodbye, I'm not going to see you again on this earth. It came upon her and it came upon them. It was a sudden blow. And all their family was grieving, and the Christian school was grieving, and the church family was grieving, and it's something that happened suddenly. And James says that's how the trials come. And he uses the term various trials, meaning multicolored, multifaceted, not just one. When it's used about sickness, it means all kinds of sickness and disease. Not just one particular thing, but a multitude of things. And so in this life, beloved, understand this, that we're going to go through these things in this life. We are born in a fallen, cursed world, and because we are the people of God, does not mean that we are those that escape suffering and trials in this life. It's the very means that God uses to conform us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. The very thing that we would not think of as conforming us into Jesus Christ. Trials produce the perseverance in our lives. Notice verse 3 tells us, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You have to have an understanding mind. The Greek term gnoskis is used there, and it means understanding, a knowing mind. And I say, you will not know this unless you are a diligent student of the Word of God. And when you're a diligent student, you see all the sufferings. You see the Apostle Paul suffering. You see, as he speaks about that in 2 Corinthians 11, that he was shipwrecked, a night and a day in the deep, beaten with rods, stoned, left for dead, despised by the Jews and the Gentiles. He was one who was despised by Demas. He was left by Demas. He was attacked. He said there was a thorn in his flesh. He was beating his body continually. He was suffering. And he said all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You'll suffer trials. You need to know that. And so when it comes upon you, you are forearmed, you are prepared. You understand that the Lord is going to cause you to go through the trials. And notice the end result of it. And this is not the penultimate result. It's a result that comes to the end of this trial. But there is an ultimate that's behind this. The end of this trial, James says, is a producing of patience. Patience is not a good translation here. I like the word endurance. the word steadfast. When we think of patience, you think of the doctor's office, you're sitting there, you're a patient, and you're just waiting. We don't ever do that as believers. We are those that pray. We pray that God gives us strength. We pray that God enables us to go through this trial giving praise to His name. That we do not use words that bring blasphemy to His name, that dishonor His name, but we use words that praise Him, as Paul and Silas in the inner prison were praising the Lord. This is something that we pray for. The Greek term hupomone means endurance. You are enduring these things, but you are steadfast. You are praying. You are reading the Word. You are still fellowshipping. You're not walking around dragging your face on the ground. You're one who continues understanding with the mind that God has given to you by the Word that He is working a work in your life. You remember the Apostle Paul, he was going to Rome. I believe it's in about Acts chapter 26 or 27. He speaks about the ship. It ran aground. And they knew it was coming closer and closer to the land as the sailors were taking soundings. They were dropping a rope down into the ground or into the water which had some kind of a weight on it. And they could tell from this that they were getting closer into land. But it was dark at this time. And the ship ran aground. And it went up on a beachhead like a sandbar. And it said that it stuck fast. Now, the account that's given there, the waves are beating against this ship. The wind is blowing and the ship is rocking back and forth. Yet it stuck steadfast into the sand. And so even though it was being rocked and pushed around, it wasn't moved off of that sandbar. And the term there used is it stuck steadfast. Who are we stuck to? We are united to the rock, Christ Jesus. And Jesus gives this parable, this analogy in Matthew 7 about the two builders. You remember the account. One built on sand and one built on the rock. And when the waves came, the wind, the rain, and all that came, and the one that built on the sand was washed away. But the one who founded on the rock remained. If you remain founded, beloved, on the rock Christ Jesus, during your trials, during the testing of your faith, you will remain. There is no other place to remain. There is no other hope of remaining except in Jesus Christ. Trusting in Him. Believing His Word. Believing the purposes that He has promised in His Word. The end result? Turn to Romans chapter 8. This is the ultimate result of our trials. Verse 28 and 29. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, His Son. Isn't that our desire? Isn't that our goal? Isn't that the ultimate joy? Is to be conformed to Christ's likeness. Oh, to think like Jesus. To speak like Jesus. To live a life like Christ. Oh, for to be filled up with Jesus Christ. That He might shine through us. Through me. Through you. And this is the way that the Lord does it. Through trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The testing there is like a holding down. It's tried through fire. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 1 that you are tried, the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold, even though it's tried with fire, might come out at the end. It might come out and it might shine with brilliance, and all the dross will be burned off. That's the testing. And God brings the test. God brings the test as to all of the saints of old. You remember as James says, you remember the prophets of old. Think of Abraham and the test that he went through. Abraham, take now your son, your only son, the son in whom you love, sacrifice him to me. What? Sacrifice Isaac? How can that be? And he endured the test. And he went right to the end until the angel of the Lord said, don't thrust in your knife. Think about the prophets of old. Job and his sufferings. Jeremiah, 40 years proclaiming the salvation of God, and he was hated and despised by his people. And he was constantly persecuted. One account, it says that he was buried in dung up to his neck by the people whom he brought the Word of God to. And no one in his 40 years of preaching, none of them came to faith. None of them believed his preaching. You think about Elijah and his trials. Oh, he was so bold in one behalf, and then the next, he's running from Jezebel. And who does he turn to? Who does he look to? Who does he find strength in? He finds strength in the Lord. These are the things that James says that we look to. And he says, let it have its perfect work. Let it do what it's going to do. Don't fight against it. So much fighting against it is the grumbling and complaining as we go through the trial. And we're good at that. And it's sin. And we need to call sin, sin, and we need to confess it, and we need to repent of it. Understanding that we're going to deal with these things, the Lord gives us the grace to go through it, and He is conforming you, beloved, and let it do its perfect work. That you may be mature, that you may be complete, that you may be lacking nothing, that you may be whole as a Christian, that you might be developed on all sides. Ever seen a potter forming some clay? And how he bends it in this way and that way and pushes it down and raises it back up until finally he makes it exactly the way that he wants it. Boy, it goes through all different kinds of shapes until it comes to the exact shape of that of the potter. That's our lives. And we will go through these trials all through our life that at the end result, the end product, this conformity is to Jesus Christ. Christ-likeness. That is the hope of glory. How are you doing, beloved, in your trials? Are you dealing with them for the glory of God? Are you rejoicing? As Paul says, to rejoice always. Again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in everything. Pray that the Lord will give you a heart of perseverance, a heart of endurance, that as you suffer the trials of life, whether it be sickness or death, whether it be the health issues, spiritual issues, persecution, whatever it may be, that you will be given the strength to endure, and as you come out, you will be more and more conformed to the likeness of Christ. And through that, the Lord will use you to minister to others who will go through the same trials in their lives. Better productivity in the church is brought about by the suffering and trials that we endure, that God might be glorified by all.
God's Word is Truth is a listener-supported broadcast, and therefore we count on your financial support to help keep this program on the air. So if you've been edified by what you've just heard, would you please consider faithfully supporting us by your financial gifts? Any amount of support would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like more information about Providence Reformed Church, please visit us on the web at www.providencerccos.com. There you'll find our contact information if you'd like to leave us your feedback or donate to our ministry. We'd also like to extend an invitation to all who are listening to this program to come worship with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 830 Madison Street, Vermilion, South Dakota. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. God's Word is Truth is a ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota, and we thank you for your support and pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, for He truly is the only hope of the nations.